turning your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Before the service began, Vinny, where's Vinny at? Vinny's back here. I'm not going to embarrass him too bad. Where's Vinny? There's Vinny back there. He's one of the guys that was in my Go group, our discipleship group, and he comes up to me today, and he says, hey, you're going to be in Luke chapter 5, and by the way, isn't that where we're at in our reading through the book of Luke in preparation for Easter? Vinny gets a gold star today. I don't know if you're there yet, but let me encourage you, during the 40 days leading up to Easter, we started on Monday, you can go online, there's a 40-day reading plan. If you don't have one, you can go out into the atrium at the Connect Center. They have them there. Let me just tell you what's happened up to this point. Luke, who's not an apostle, he's not a disciple. Sometimes we think he is. He's writing this after Jesus has left and gone to be with his Father in heaven. And he's writing this from a kind of a historical perspective, which is kind of cool. And he has some stories in here that's not in some of the other Gospels. And by the way, we think of the Apostle Paul, and we talk about him all the time of writing, you know, half of the New Testament, which is huge. But did you know that Luke, writing the book of Luke and the book of Acts, actually wrote more verses in the New Testament than Paul did? Luke knows what he's talking about. And this story, beginning in chapter 1, is a beautiful story of our salvation. And starts in chapter 1, and we see the promise of Christ told to Mary through the Archangel Gabriel. And one of the most impactful verses in all the Bible are found in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, where the angel's talking to Mary about all these things that are going to happen. And he says this to her, he says, for nothing is impossible with God. That's right. And that's how Luke starts off. How cool is that? Chapter 2, we see the birth of Jesus, and as a child at the age of 12, he gets lost in the city. I don't know what all took place, but they're traveling kind of home, and all of a sudden, they kind of look up and say, man, where's Jesus at? Well, he's nowhere to be found. They can't find him for 3 days. Can you imagine as a parent losing your 12-year-old in a large city like Birmingham for 3 days? Wow. You know where they find him? They find him outside the temple courts. That's where Jesus is. In chapter 3, we see the ministry of John the Baptist, and we see the baptism of Jesus Christ. We come to chapter 4 and we see Jesus, and he's tempted for 40 days by Satan himself. And after that, he begins his earthly ministry this way. He gets kicked out of his own town of Nazareth. Literally, they chase Jesus out of town. And he begins his earthly ministry. And we come to chapter 5, and the first 11 verses in chapter 5 are the calling of his first disciples, men like John and James and Peter. And they're in a boat, and they're fishermen. And Jesus calls them away from their profession to follow him. And we come to verse 12. So let's begin reading in verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, and by the way, these towns were probably little towns by the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret. These are little towns up there, and the majority of Jesus' ministry took place up there. That's where most of the disciples came from. Places like Capernaum and Bethsaida and places like that, which are hard to pronounce, but that's where Jesus was. Yeah, they're big words. But that's where he found his disciples. So he's ministering in these small towns up there by the Sea of Galilee. It says a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Now I want to paint a picture for you this morning of this man who came to Jesus. Now sometimes we read the scripture and we just read it. We just kind of roll through it. But there's so much here in these two verses. This man was covered with leprosy. That literally means, that word covered there literally means he was filled from the inside out. Literally, he was filled up as an empty vessel with this disease. Now, this disease, this leprosy, is something we hear about often. And by the way, it's 68 times you can find it in the Bible. Of that 68, about 55 of them you can find in the Old Testament. And you can go back to the book of Leviticus and you can begin to see this word leprosy that took place. But leprosy in itself is a disease that attacks the nervous system. And it literally destroys the nerve endings that carry pain signals. Now, it's kind of manifested. The symptoms are these disease that sometimes we picture in our mind. A man like this, who has leprosy throughout his entire body, would have had leprosy for many, many years. And probably he had no use of his hands. They were probably crumpled up like this. He was probably, even though he couldn't sense pain along the way. And many times they would lose their limbs, not because they would fall off, but because they couldn't sense pain in their body. They would bump up against things and cut things off and things like that. So there's no telling exactly what this man looked like, but he had to be disfigured along the way because of this leprosy. And by the way, people who had leprosy back then, they were an outcast. They had no friends. They had no family. In fact, their family would kick them out. And back in those days, literally sometimes you had to either put a sign around your neck that said unclean, or you had to shout from the top of your lungs in the city streets that you were unclean and people were supposed to stay 150 feet away from you. So this man, who was considered unclean, he had no friends. He probably wore a sign around him that shared that he was unclean and that he was a leper. This man, he felt alone. Now, I would venture to say that today, in fact, I know this for a fact, there are some of us in here who feel alone. Not because of circumstances like this, but for other circumstances in your life. A father who's left the home. A mother who has left the home. Maybe a loved one who has passed away. And suddenly you find yourself alone. This man felt lost. He had no home. He was homeless. He felt hopeless, that there was no hope in his life. I mean, his life was going to end as a destitute. He felt desperate. He felt dirty. He felt ugly. He felt untouchable. And you know what? Probably more than anything else, he felt unworthy of love in his life. Now, I would imagine that there are some of us in here today who one of those attributes fits your life. That we feel like that. You know what? We might not always feel like that, but there are times we feel like this leper, even though we don't have that outward disease. That's what we feel like in our heart. And it goes on to say that when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him. Now, I want you to get the picture. Here's this man with leprosy who had had leprosy for a long, long time. And here's Jesus coming to him. Or maybe he was running to Jesus the best he could. And it says that when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he begged. That word begged in the original language literally translated means to long for. He was longing for a Savior. He was longing for somebody who could heal this disease in his body. He wanted it so bad. And he was longing for it. And by the way, we'll see this in a minute. You know what? I think that's part of the issue with him going forward. He longed enough. He was willing to do whatever it took to get to the feet of Jesus. So when he saw Jesus, he fell with his feet to the with his face to the ground, and he begged him, and he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Literally, "Lord, since I belong to you, since I belong to you, if you're willing, you can make me clean." In a physical perspective, it means to remove by cleansing. From a spiritual perspective, it means to consecrate by purifying. And by the way, I think this leper understood that for Jesus to make him clean, and the way that Jesus would do it would make Jesus unclean. That he would take on this uncleanliness from this leper and put it upon himself. Verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians says it this way. "Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." That's what this leper was doing. falling face first before a holy God, longing for Jesus to make him clean. So what did Jesus do? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now let's just stop here for a second. When I said sometimes that we kind of walk through Scripture, we just kind of roll through it and we read it, this thing comes to life for me. When Jesus reached out his hand, it wasn't any ordinary hand, was it? It wasn't like your hand and my hand. We're talking about the hand of God. Literally, the hand of God, the creator of all things. Well, you can go to Colossians chapter 1, and there in verse 16, at the end of that verse, in verse 16, literally it says, all things were created by him and for him. So this hand that's reaching out to this leper wasn't any ordinary hand. It was the hand that created the heavens and the earth. It was also the hand that was pierced for this man. It wasn't just any ordinary hand. It was God's hand. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. The Greek word for touched here is a word that means hapato. It means that Jesus fastened himself, literally adhered himself to the leper and set his man on fire. I'm going to talk more about that here in a minute. This was Jesus' response at the end of verse 13. He said, I am willing. It is my purpose, leper. It is my purpose for you to be clean. So he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. What a beautiful narrative that we have of the grace of God. See, in this narrative, there's only two characters. There's the leper or the outcast who needed a touch from Jesus. And then there was Jesus who was willing to become unclean so that the outcast could be clean. So here's the question. Which one are you? Which one am I? See, I know sometimes we come to church and this is what we think. That everybody here is the person of Christ who's going to touch a life. But to really be honest with you, probably the majority of us here are like the leper. Now you may be saved. And you're going to heaven. It doesn't mean you don't need a touch from Christ. You may be hurting and lost. It doesn't mean you don't need a touch from Christ. Because we all do. And you may say, well, Rick, how do you know about these things? Well, I want you to know, I do a lot of counseling in here. And I can pick up a newspaper, or I can listen to the news, or watch it on TV, and our world is going to hell in a handbasket. And by the way, I'm a dad. Hopefully, if the Lord blesses, I'll be a grandfather. What's going to happen to my kids and their kids? Who are they going to reach out to? And by the way, psychologists and counselors are making a whole lot of money today because you know why? People got issues. They got problems. They're lost. They feel hopeless. They feel unclean. And they're wanting someone to tell them how to be whole again. See, I would imagine that a bunch of us in here are more like the leper than like Jesus. With skin on. So which one are you? Here's the characteristics of a leper. The leper was without hope. He had no one to turn to. The leper was without love. He had no one to share his life with. The leper was without promise. He had no one who believed in him. That was the leper. Let me tell you what he did have. He had two things that makes this story complete. He had desperation on his side. He had desperation. It was the only thing that would give him hope is the person of Christ. And he realized that. He had desperation. And by the way, he did not care what anybody else thought. He didn't care. But he was the one who had a sign around his neck. He was the one who's supposed to shout from the mountaintops, I'm a leper, stay clear. And here's the Holy of Holies. And he didn't care what anybody else thought.
That's right.
He was going to find his way to the feet of Jesus. He was desperate. Now, this is why we don't get well. This is why the sinner continues to be the sinner. This is why we, as a believers in Christ, we don't fulfill the Great Commission. It's because we're not desperate enough. We come to these cozy confines called church. And you know what? Here's the honest truth. We feel safe here, don't we? We feel safe here. The gays aren't going to be here. We feel safe. The homeless aren't going to be in here. We feel safe. I had a discussion with about 6 executive pastors a couple weeks ago. And I don't know how it came up. The discussion was, what's the church going to look like in 50 years? And man, they were all talking all this stuff. And I was just quiet. And then one of my buddies, Chris, who's an executive pastor of a very, very large church, 3 times this size, said, Rick, what do you think? I said, you don't want to know what I think. Oh, no, we want to know what you think. I said, really? Okay. I said, your church is probably just like mine. Middle class, upper middle class. I said, do you really think they all want to get their hands dirty? Do you really think that they want to get outside the confines of your church and go reach the gay community? Or reach the homeless? Or reach the hurting? Really? No, they come to be safe. I told you, I mean, this is several months ago. I preached a sermon. Remember what the sermon title was? You don't need to hear another sermon? Y'all don't. Unless you're lost. You've heard enough. He was desperate. And the second thing he had was faith enough to come to Jesus who could heal him. He had faith. He only had those 2 things. That's all he had. Now, what are the characteristics of Jesus? Because either we're the leper or we're Jesus in the story. This is what Jesus brought to the story. He brought compassion, willing to love no matter what. It didn't matter that this man was unclean. It didn't matter what the Pharisees thought about him touching this man. Jesus had compassion and said, no matter what, I'm going to love you. And by the way, he did the same for you at Calvary some 2,000 years ago. He said, it doesn't matter what you've done. And by the way, when Jesus died at Calvary, and you're going to find this out as we walk through the book of Luke, that he died for your past sins. He died for your present sins, and he died for every sin that you're going to commit going forward. That's what he died for. Jesus brings compassion to you, and he brought compassion to this leper. He was willing to love no matter what. He brought healing. He was willing to become unclean to make clean. By touching this man, literally, Jesus, according to law, became unclean. And was supposed to remove himself from the society around him as well. He brought healing. And thirdly, he brought life. There was a renewed purpose in this man's life. Just read verses 14. Just read that. He got healed and Jesus said, hey man, go to the temple. Do your sacrifices the way you're supposed to do your sacrifices. And I want you to know, that man, I guarantee you, people wanted to talk to him in the temple courts. Because I'm sure they saw him around town screaming out, I'm a leper. I am unclean. So Jesus brought compassion. He brought healing. And he brought life. And not only does Jesus bring life, he brings it to the full according to John 10:10. Because that thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly in your life. So what does that mean? Either you are a leper or you're Jesus. If you don't fit the characteristics of Jesus, guess what? Sorry. You're probably over here. I'm going to give you 2 life lessons this morning. Life lesson number 1. If you feel like a leper today, if there's a part of your life that feels like what this leper felt, I want you to do 3 things. Number 1, recognize the Savior and Lord of this world and humble yourself. Bow down. Be desperate and submit to Christ. That's what you do. That's what this man did. This is amazing. We come to church and we'll ask this question. Now, y'all, sometimes I don't ask this question anymore because some of you are really honest. But the majority of us, when we come to church and I say, how you doing today? What do we do? Yeah, that's Lionel. But the rest of y'all, the rest of us put on this face, don't we? Because we don't want the world to know. We certainly don't want our pastor to know that my life is a wreck. And we'll say, hey, everything's fine. Everything's good. Hey, it's been a good week. And in that week, you know, their wife left them. In that week, they lost their job. In that week, they fell into sin that's been a problem for them. Everything's good. Everything's fine. That pride will keep you from the healing touch of a loving Savior. Recognize the Savior and Lord of this world and humble yourself. Verse 12, he fell to the ground. 1 Peter 5, 6 says it this way. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, the hand that created the heavens and the earth that was pierced for you. Humble yourself before that hand that he may lift you up in due time. Number 2, turn your life over to him. Repent. Repent. He fell before the person of Christ because Christ was holy. There was nothing else to do. And by the way, there's going to come a day when every knee, what, shall bow and every tongue, what, confess that Jesus is Lord. It's going to happen, y'all. Everyone in this room, whether you're saved or not saved, whether you know Jesus or don't know Jesus, whether you're going to go to heaven or not go to heaven, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And I want you to know, when you meet somebody like that, when you meet Jesus face to face, who is holy, everything in your life will become like filthy rags, as Paul would say. In fact, if you turn back just a little bit, there in verse 8 of chapter 5, we see the picture of Jesus with the disciples, who he's getting ready to call, and they're out fishing, and Jesus does this miracle, and he brings in all this the fish into the boat. And it says there in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Bow down. Be desperate and submit. Number 2, turn your life over to him. Repent. Every fiber of your being and all that is in you. Acts 3:19 says it this way. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Do that so you can have times of refreshing. Number 3, start living like there is no tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Hallelujah. The new has come. There is nothing that gets under my skin more than a follower of Christ, one who claims to know Christ, and all they ever do is complain about life. Listen, I don't care how bad it gets. There'll come a day that you're going to be with Jesus in heaven. It gets under my skin when those who are believers will walk through life and point their fingers at everybody else and not take responsibility for anything that bad happens in their life and say it's everybody else's fault. Let's stand up. Let's be the men and women of God. He died for us to give us life. Why don't we live it that way? I've told y'all before, man, if you see me with just a frown on my face and all I'm doing is complaining, man, slap me side of the head. Punch me in the nose. Remind me who Jesus is in my life. Husband, you need to lead your wife that way. Wife, you need to lead your husband and your family that way. Y'all, we have so much to be grateful and thankful for, and yet we live this defeated life. Start living like there's no tomorrow. I'll guarantee you, when that leper was healed, he couldn't wait to shout it from the mountaintops, because all he had done for decades is shout how unclean he was. Don't you think? He went to the highways and byways shouting about what Jesus had done in his life. Even though Jesus told him not to. That flesh part of him, I'm sure. Hey. Life lesson number 2. If you are Jesus with skin on, if that's you, if you really believe that you're that person that Jesus can use and is being used by him to change this world around you, I'm going to tell you, let me encourage you to do these three things. Be sensitive to the needs around you. Be sensitive to those needs. The Apostle Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those who are under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law, to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Is that you? If not, and you want to be that, be sensitive to the needs that are around you. And here's an interesting note as you read this scripture. Where did Jesus perform this miracle? Was it in the church? Was it in the temple? No. Jesus was on the streets. He was outside the church. And by the way, those who are really hurting and really lost, you know where they're not going to come? Here. Anybody know why? You know, years ago, it's changed a little bit. Thank the Lord. But I grew up in a time that if somebody had a baby out of wedlock, they disappeared. They disappeared. You didn't hear from them. They went and lived with an aunt or a grandparent because they felt ostracized and an outcast because we made them feel that way. There was a day in the church that we would crucify those who got a divorce. We would. We would crucify them. I remember those days. We would crucify those folks. Are we different? Jesus performed this miracle, and most of his were outside the temple courts. In fact, I can't remember one that was inside the temple court. He was out there with the people. Number two, be willing to get your hands dirty. Become unclean. Mark 2, 16 and 17 says, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, this is so good, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, this is so good, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. You know, there's a wonderful story. And by the way, you will read this as you finish reading your Bible, your reading plan through the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 19, right? Okay, we're all going to read through the book of Luke. When you come to chapter 19, there's this wonderful story of a tax collector named Zacchaeus. Now, those of you who grew up in the church, you remember singing the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. Remember that guy? Well, that's the guy in this story. And he's a guy who was like a leper because nobody wanted to be around him because he was a thief. And he heard about Jesus coming to the town. So what he did, he was this little guy, and he couldn't see Jesus through the crowd. So he found this sycamore tree, and he jumped in this tree. Well, here's Jesus. Is he in the temple? Is he in the church? Nah. He's in the marketplace. And he's walking down the street, and he sees this guy in a tree, and he goes, hey, what are you doing up there? I've come to see you, Jesus. Well, Zacchaeus, guess what? Come on down from there. Tonight, I'm going to eat supper with you in your home. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be with you. You're a sinner, Zacchaeus, but I'm going to come eat in your home. And here's a great verse, and we know this verse, and we find it there in the book of Luke at the end of that whole chapter in verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what? That's what Jesus said. He says, I don't care what anybody else says. This is why I came, is to seek and to save Zacchaeus, just like you, just like me. Number three, hold on and don't let go. We talked about that word touched earlier, that Jesus reached out his hand, and what did he do? He touched the man. Matthew 12, verse 11 says, and he said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? Now, I want you to know, this is one of the most interesting parts of the story to me, and I'm going to demonstrate this. Stephen, where are you at? Come on up here. Stephen is going to be the leper. Okay, Heather, it's okay. He's not really that. You can take him home after we're done today. But let's just say Stephen was that leper in this story. So here he is. He's standing there, or he's trying to run to Jesus. And Jesus is over here. And he sees Jesus, and what he does at that moment, he gets on his knees and he bows and he puts his face to the ground and he asks Jesus, hey, Jesus, if you're willing to touch me, if you're willing to heal me. And Jesus says, sure, and he touched the man. Now, this is what sometimes we think. We think that Jesus went, boop, and he was healed. Now, let's all agree here on one thing. Jesus, the creator of the universe, the one who raised the dead, do you not think that Jesus could have spoken this disease away in his life? From a distance, Jesus could have saw him and said, you know what? Bob, Bill, Stephen, you're healed. And by the way, it would have been done. Could Jesus have done that? So I asked the question, why didn't he? He was a busy man. Why didn't he just speak the disease away? What did this man need more than anything else in his life? Hey, we're thinking about decades of being unclean. What had he not felt in decades? A touch. Now, it wasn't this kind of touch, because that word in the Greek, touch, means to adhere to fasten oneself to put them on fire, like kindling. So this is what I imagine happened. There at the feet of Jesus, this man knelt. And I think this is what Jesus did. Instead of touching the man, he grabbed him. He grabbed him and would not let go. He grabbed the man because that's what he needed. He needed a touch from a heavenly Father is what he needed. Amen? Thank you, Stephen. That's what he needed. Question, are we that? Are we willing to become unclean so that the clean can know Jesus as their Lord and Shepherd? You know, my prayer is that we would be willing to. Are we willing to touch them? Matthew 5, and we're getting ready to close, says this. It says, you, meaning you and I, those who claim to know Christ, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything. It's set to be thrown out and trampled by men. Verse 14, you, church, followers of Christ, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Are we going to be that? See, I believe most of us are like the lepers who need a genuine touch of God. It may not happen every day, but I think most of us are like that. But let me tell you what we need to be like. We need to be like Jesus with skin on, willing to touch the world around us and not come here and be safe. But teach our kids it's okay to get your hands unclean. Get your hands dirty for the sake of the gospel. I'm going to ask Kevin to come up here, and we have a time of invitation. But let me tell you how we're going to do this. There was a time in my life that I was that kind of person who talked a big game. You know what I'm talking about? People would see me on a Sunday morning as a student pastor, and they thought, what? I had it all together, right? I loved everybody. I mean, if you can love a teenager, you can love anybody. That's what they thought. But I remember on one Sunday, something changed the way I thought about what I was supposed to do in this world. A man entered our building, Ridgeway Baptist Church. I was a student pastor there. I never saw the guy come. We had 1,000 plus people in the service that day. All I know is after the service, Dr. Billy Smith came to me and said, hey, there's a guy that I want you to talk to. Now, why he chose me, I have no idea. Because really, I was kind of unworthy to talk to this guy. So I was introduced to him. His name was Phil. Phil was about that tall. weighed about 75, 80 pounds. Frail. I said, Phil, what can I do for you today? And he said this to me. He said, I'm dying of AIDS. I'm gay. I need help. You know what my first thought was? Run. I wasn't equipped. What was I going to say to this man? I knew what the Bible said about his lifestyle, but he was hurting. What was I going to do? And I can remember in that split second, my first instinct was just to, okay, let's pray about this. My second instinct was this, to grab his hands. So we had our chairs and we were facing each other. We were sitting down in my little cubicle office. And I reached out, I grabbed Phil's hands. I said, Phil, do you want Jesus to cleanse you of all your sin and to make you whole? And there I walked him through the Roman road. And there in my office, Phil came to know Christ. 2 weeks later, I did Phil's funeral. First funeral I'd ever done. And I can remember going to one of my colleagues, one of my pastor friends. I said, man, what do I say? Because all of his friends are going to be there. And what I didn't know is that in those 2 weeks before Phil passed away, he began to share with his buddies what had happened in my office. I didn't know that. That Jesus had saved him. That Jesus had taken care of his life, and that at the end of his life, he was going to see Jesus face to face, and he wanted his buddies to know. I didn't know that. It would have made a whole lot easier if I'd known that. So I asked my friend, I said, man, what am I going to share? And he said, well, what did you share with him last time, the first time you met him? I said, I shared the Roman road. He said, share the Roman road. Pretty good advice. So I went through the same scriptures I went through with Phil. Two people came to know Christ. Two of his buddies came to know Christ that day. Let me ask you a question. We're here in our ivory tower and we're so blessed. But I want you to know the hurting, the leper doesn't walk through these doors very often. They're not like Phil. We have to get out into the highways and the byways and touch their lives. Are we willing?